This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush denied he marched America into war under false pretenses and said the U.S.-led invasion was necessary because Saddam Hussein could have developed a nuclear weapon. I expected to find the weapons, Bush said in an Oval Office interview broadcast Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. He dismissed news reports that there is no evidence he reported for National Guard duty in Alabama during the summer and fall of 1972 during the Vietnam War. In what may be the first subpoena of its kind in decades, a federal judge has ordered a university to turn over records about a gathering of anti-war activists. In addition to the subpoena of Drake University, subpoenas were served this past week on four of the activists who attended a November 15th forum at the school, ordering them to appear before a grand jury Tuesday. In addition to records about who attended the forum, the subpoena orders the university to divulge all records relating to the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, a New York-based legal activist organization that has sponsored the forum. Investigators have concluded that the powder found in Frist's email was mostly paper dust with traces of ricin so minute they can't even be evaluated for particle size or purity. No envelope or note has been found, and no other piece of mail from the Senate has even a trace of ricin on it. Neither do any door sills, doorknobs, railings, or surfaces anywhere in the building, including air filters. Congress still finds it's worrisome to know that anyone is sending lethal substances through the U.S. mail and getting away with it. An American Airlines pilot asked Christians on his flight to identify themselves and suggested the non-Christians discuss the faith with them, the airline said. The case was handed over to the airline's personnel department for an investigation, spokesman Tim Wagner said Sunday. It falls along the lines of a personal level of sharing that may not be appropriate for one of our employees to do while on the job, he said earlier. America's Flight 34 was headed from Los Angeles to New York's John F. Kennedy Airport on Friday when the pilot asked Christians on board to raise their hands, Wagner said.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
The head football coach at the University of Colorado has told a former colleague it would be harder to recruit star athletes if the school did not show them a good time and take them to sex parties. If recruits aren't being shown these types of activities, it would be a recruiting disadvantage, said a former associate athletic director who quoted head coach Gary Barnett as having told him. Depositions were taken as part of a lawsuit filed by three women who claimed they were raped at or after a December 2001 off-campus recruiting party attended by high school recruits. Last week, Governor Bill Owens told the university to investigate or he would launch a separate probe. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
If you've ever seen a big washing machine go into its spin cycle, you have some idea of how fast the Bushites are spinning the truth as they try to launder their story on those missing weapons of mass destruction, which they insisted only a year ago that Saddam Hussein had and was prepared to fling at America. After months of scouring Iraq to find WMDs, Bush's own chief weapons hunter has resigned, declaring that he doesn't think they existed. So, spin, spin, spin. The new line is that, well, okay, Saddam didn't actually have the weapons, but he was well on his way to making them. George himself, in his State of the Union dance, used this spin, referring to, quote, weapons of mass destruction-related program activities. Never has a president used so many hyphens in a single phrase. Dick Cheney even slouched out to insist that two flatbed trucks found in the desert were mobile biological weapons labs, giving, quote, conclusive proof that Saddam had an active WMD program. Alas, the chief weapons inspector shot that ludicrous idea down too, saying that those trucks were only making hydrogen for weather balloons. Then came spin mistress Condi Rice, Bush's top security advisor, asserting that because of Saddam's devilish secrecy, you're never going to be able to be positive about whether he had WMDs. But Condi, you, George, Cheney, Rummy, and all the rest told the world last year that you were absolutely positive. Next was Bush's PR flack, Scott McClellan, who went into reverse spin, claiming that Bush never said that Saddam posed an imminent threat, but only a growing one. Hogwash, Scott. George even warned us of mushroom clouds rising over our country. This is Jim Hightower saying, bizarrely, in his State of the Union speech, George W. even blurted out that no one can now doubt the word of America. Come on, George, we can't even figure out what your word is. Maybe all that spinning has made you dizzy.
The Mr. Rogers parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. 14 programs left after tonight, so if you want to get it said, the phone number, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Program produced tonight by Catherine Bay, as always. Robin Bittman is our announcer. And you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. This is the, I've been asked by about six people to mention this, the 40th anniversary of the Beatles coming to the United States. Wasn't it 40? Was it Ed Sullivan? I remember the program. Anyway, the Beatles began their conquering of the world, at least in this country, 40 years ago today. Wow, time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Now, this has been reported by everybody, so we're going to be the last program to report it for today about the American Airlines pilot. Now, American Atheists Incorporated is urging the management of American Airlines to implement and enforce guidelines concerning religious harassment. Following these reports that an American Airlines pilot urged Christian passengers to preach their faith while on an L.A. to New York flight Friday afternoon. That's about 5 hours, isn't it, Kathy? I don't know what it is. I don't know what is more obnoxious, Islamic fundamentalists or Christian fundamentalists. I really don't know. But they both are just so irritating to me. Here are people cruising at 35, 38,000 feet, and this freakish pilot comes on, allegedly. Got to say that, allegedly. Flight 34, American Airlines, this past Friday. The pilot came on and asked any passengers on board to raise their hand if they were Christians. He then reportedly informed passengers that Everyone who doesn't have their hand raised is crazy. Well, you have a choice. You can make this trip worthwhile, or you can sit back, read a book, and watch the movie. Talk about a captive audience, right? Flight attendants reportedly became concerned and contacted ground control to Major Tom, about the pilot's behavior. Now, the president of American Airlines said this latest report is another example of, quote, I'm sorry, not American Airlines president, American atheist president. Ellen Johnson said that this latest report is another example of, quote, inappropriate, close quote, religious proselytizing. And she is calling upon the CEO of American Airlines parent company, AMR, to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Ms. Johnson said, no passenger or customer should be made to feel unwelcome or harassed because of their religious belief or the lack of them. These passengers were a captive audience in the strictest sense. No passenger or customer of any airline should have to worry that they would be verbally abused by airline employees. What's next? Ms. Johnson wants to know. Interrogating passengers about their politics or sexual orientation? Can you believe these people? America, this pilot, oh my God. What is it about Christian fundamentalists as a group? They are just wacko, just totally wacko. Aren't they? Always have been, are getting worse. And more of these stories where people who subscribe to this, I don't know, weird branch of Christianity, talking to fellow employees and harassing people. To me, it's harassment out in public. Man, whatever your personal private belief is, shut the hell up. If you want to follow Christ's admonition to take up your cross and go preach, go do it. But stay out of my face. Oh, my God. Oh, I just... The Pakistani dude, scientist dude, Abdul Qadir Khan, the guy who sold nuclear technology to any government that wanted it, Pakistani nuclear technology, which probably came from either the old Soviet Union, China, or the United States originally. But the guy who sold it to Libya, Iran, and North Korea went on television last week, as you know, and confessed, and then the military dictator of Pakistan pardoned him, Pervez Musharraf, who overthrew the government of Pakistan back in, when, 4 years ago. Musharraf came to power 4 years ago. 2000? Is that? Okay, 2000. Musharraf now says that this guy can keep the money that he made. And it's not just a little bit of money, vast wealth, as you can imagine, selling nuclear technology to countries like North Korea or Libya or whomever. Yeah, that'd be a lot of money, right? Well, not only is the scientist's life being spared, but also his property, all of his assets. Musharraf told the Sunday Telegraph, a London newspaper, he can keep his money. We wanted the bomb, we being Pakistan, in the national interest, and so you have to ask yourself whether you act against the person who enabled you to get the bomb. Oh, God. Khan is thought to have earned millions of dollars from his sale of nuclear know-how beginning in the late 80s. Much of the money was funneled through bank accounts in the Middle East. His assets include four houses in Islamabad, worth an estimated $2.5 million, a villa on the Caspian Sea, a luxury hotel in Mali, and a valuable vintage car collection. Now, of course, the truth is, the head of the military during all these years when this military this nuclear technology was being transferred around the globe was Pervez Musharraf. He was one that led the military overthrow of the government. So anyone with a third grade education would understand that Mr. Khan could not have transferred all this nuclear knowledge without the assistance of top military officials, which would include the murderous dictator and friend of the Bush family who now runs Pakistan, Pervez Musharraf. Well, the Bush crime family, no matter where you look, under every rock, in every dark, dank hole, wherever there's crime on a massive scale, wherever there's lies, deceit, you'll find a Bush thumbprint, won't you? Or a Bush in person. By the way, right next door in Afghanistan, opium there has hit a record high. No pun intended. Well, you don't get high with opium. You get low. 2003, record high production year. Another increase is expected this year, 2004. The country has no other real exports. And as George Bush says, democracy is now afoot in Afghanistan. 2 years after the Taliban were blasted out of power by a U.S.-led coalition, opium production, according to Reuters, has skyrocketed as farmers in lawless provinces crank it out. This is all according to U.N. Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC. Hamid Karzai, the former UNICAL consultant, oil man, Bush crime family whore, and president of Afghanistan, is supposed to attend this conference, the U.N. Office on Drugs and Crime, having a conference in Kabul. He's supposed to be there today. Karzai, of course, has banned opium cultivating and trafficking. Right. United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime estimates that the output could be worth $2.5 billion this year. And now there's a little companion piece that goes with this. NATO is also meeting. NATO is meeting in, where are they meeting? Munich, I believe. They are turning a blind eye to this opium trade to ensure the support of warlords in the ongoing, what is it, 3 centuries-old struggle now to try to control Afghanistan. NATO nations, the leaders of which are, no matter how you slice it, America and Great Britain, have decided, well, look, let's look the other way. Look, you know, the boys are being quiet as long as you're growing opium. The sad part is about 90% of the heroin that reaches the U.K. comes from opium produced in, opium grown in Afghanistan. Probably 90% of the heroin that is now reaching Russia is grown in Afghanistan. The Russian defense minister says that Sergei Ivanov said Afghanistan was now producing 9 times the quantity of drugs it did under the Taliban. And Mr. Ivanov said, it's understandable that by allowing drug peddling in Afghanistan, the NATO alliance ensures loyalty of warlords on the ground and of some Afghan leaders. Good Lord. Well, yeah, what do you expect? Drugs is what keeps international terrorism alive and flourishing. And the Bush crime family is in, up to its eyeballs, in international terrorism and drug running and drug smuggling. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. May I say it right now? I just loathe these people. Well, the big story, of course, is Bush and media whore number one, Tim Russert's interview. You know, a couple of times when I looked at the tape that Kathy taped it, when I looked at the tape, there were a couple of times when I thought that Tim Russert was just about to redeem himself, stop being a punk and a media whore and become a real tough interrogator. And every time I started to think that, whoops, he'd slip. He wouldn't give a follow-up question. He wouldn't come back and ask what was an obvious follow-up question. And he wouldn't hold too stupid to be president's feet to the fire on the interview. I have to say, though, Tim Russert did provide enough different questioning, enough different questions to make George W. Bush look like a total what is it on Animal Talk? The animal? Dick. A total dick. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Back right trail, get jailed, jump bail, join the army if you fail, look out. want to park and meet you.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
And don't worry if you missed Bush on Meet the Press yesterday with media whore number one Tim Russert. We have quite a chunk of sound for you to where you can gauge for yourself how disconnected this freak is from reality. I'm not talking about Tim Russert. All Bush did yesterday was regurgitate those little sentences that Karl Rove has drilled into his head. Scary part is how stupid Bush still sounds, despite the fact that the interview was pre-recorded and edited, and still he comes across. I mean, it's scary. It really is. We've been railing on this jackass's case for the past 3 years, actually longer than that, for 4.5 years. Even when he was running for office, it was obvious that he had as much ability to be president of the United States as, some eighth grade dropout. But yesterday, it was pretty grim. Pretty grim, the interview with Tim Russert. And again, I think Russert is just an absolute jackass and apologist for the Republicans. But he had his moment. And there were a couple of times I thought, well, I'll be damned, Tim. Good question. But the follow-through was never there. Of course, you don't know what was going on off-camera. Karl Rove may have had a gun pointed at Russert, so you never know. Dan in Seattle wrote in about that. He said, hi, Mike. Listening to Bush's hee-hawing excuses for the war on Sunday seemed about as sad as they were laughable. When hearing his response to the question about whether the war justified 526 American soldiers' lives, he muttered something about every life is precious. This line sounded to me as hollow as the line, every sperm is sacred, from the Monty Python Life of Brian movie. As a Vietnam veteran, I found his response to the Terry McAuliffe charge about being AWOL to be completely inadequate. I personally knew guys who got dishonorable discharges and or Article 15s, along with a 5-year prison term in Leavenworth for showing up a day late for duty. Yet Bush is gone for 17 months and gets an honorable discharge. It sounds to me like the hand of Texas Representative Daddy cleaning the records. As far as the commander in Chicken Hawk's war record, he used family connections to buck the years along line into the Champaign unit, the Texas Air National Guard. He scored near the bottom of the entrance exam, was still allowed to train. He was awarded his second lieutenant's bar without having to attend OCS, an extremely rare event. Once qualified, he skedaddled rather than undergo a mandatory flight physical, the first that included drug testing. He never showed up the Alabama National Guard, according to his would-be commanding officer. Nobody has been able to confirm if he ever worked on the Blunt campaign in Alabama that he said he was going to work on, and a $1,000 reward for evidence of any Alabama duty has gone unclaimed. There is documentary evidence that suggests his campaign staff did their best to hide these and other disturbing facts. I, Dan writes, along with many other soldiers, could have used a $1,000 reward for coming forward with our evidence of Bush in the Alabama National Guard. Since I was never assigned to the Alabama National Guard, I would have to leave it up to others. Hasn't anyone got a photo or remembrance of Bush at the Alabama National Guard? Couldn't even one slightly ugly Alabama girl remember dancing with him during that whole year? All we have is the invisible soldier, and it's signed Dan from Seattle. One correction, Dan. Alabama girls, Alabama women are gorgeous. There's no such thing, is there, Kathy, as an ugly Alabama? I'm sorry, Dan. But other than that, I just completely agree with what you wrote. Also on Meet the Press yesterday, when Bush claimed he has already released all records of his whereabouts during the Vietnam War, a lie, an absolute lie. The Washington Post reported no such information has ever been released. Bush reiterated claims that he reported for duty, and that's a lie. Well, the net is starting to close around this little rat bastard, I think. I hope. And isn't it pathetic to watch this guy, allegedly the most powerful human being on the planet, and he just sits there like a little weasel. Ooh.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The plan to restore wetlands around San Francisco Bay is called globally important. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. 90% of the marshes that once surrounded San Francisco Bay are gone, done in by diking and landfilling. Now a coalition of environmental groups, businesses, and government agencies is working on a plan to restore thousands of acres of these wetlands. John Hart is the author of a new book, San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary. Hart says many of the salt marshes can be restored.
Most of the lost marshland around the bay was not irrevocably destroyed. It was diked off and turned into rather low-value agricultural fields, but the land is still there, and it's still available for rewatering and rehabilitation. So a truly epical program to restore salt marshes is just getting started all around the bay. It's really something of planetary significance.
The National Audubon Society calls the restoration of San Francisco Bay as important as Everglades restoration. Hart says the bay provides vital habitat for waterfowl, salmon, and marine species.
This bay is a very important habitat for the western part of North America, so it's already on a fairly large scale in that sense. But what I'm really talking about is it's important as a pilot project for restoring thoroughly damaged systems. Even more than its intrinsic significance, it's the boldness and the reach of this restoration effort that is setting a model that goes very, very far.
San Francisco Bay restoration would cost billions of dollars, but proponents argue it's a project of global importance, and they hope to pull together state, federal, and private funds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Every answer that Bush came up with yesterday was pathetic. Questions about his hiding from the military, his cowardice, were... The questions were good enough. The answers were pathetic. Just pathetic. He reiterated claims that he reported for duty, but he said records had never been produced to document that he was there. During the 2000 election, Bush's campaign spokesman acknowledged that he knew of no witnesses who could attest to Bush's attendance between 1972 and 1973. Nobody. Can you imagine a Texas Air National Guard unit with everybody involved in that, from the commanding officer all the way down to the people that showed up for weekend drills, and nobody remembers George Bush. But he says he was there. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. When questioned about this in the 2000 campaign, Bush refused to be interviewed on the topic. In that same year, Senator Bob Kerry, a Democrat from Nebraska, since out of politics, and I think Bob Kerry runs the New School in New York now, and Daniel Inouye, both amputees from Inouye from World War II and Kerry from Vietnam, both of these senators called on Bush to release his full military records to resolve any doubts, and he refused. 3 years later, here we are again making the same demands, the American public and Democrats. And as reported by the Post, Bush last week, quote, did not release new information to clear up questions about a one-year gap in the public record of his service, Texas Air National Guard, during the Vietnam War, close quote. Today, the Post reports that payroll records and Bush's annual point summary from the time should definitively prove whether Bush did show up for duty, but neither has been released so far. And additionally, a Freedom of Information Act request in 2000 for Bush's military records withheld certain documents. So, you know, the fix is in. And I don't know. It matters, I guess, on a couple of levels. First of all, because if John Kerry is the Democratic nominee, these weasels, these punks in the Republican Party are going to attack him the same way they attacked Max Cleland here in Georgia. They're going to attack Kerry's stance on national defense, which is a joke. And Bush himself, who is a coward, who is a deserter, AWOL, I don't give a damn what you call it. I couldn't care less. And as far as Bush's weaselly little comment to Restert yesterday, well, I don't think people should be casting aspersions on the National Guard. You know, what a rotten, chicken, coward thing to say. Nobody is doing that. But the fact remains that the National Guard back in 1968, 69, 70, 71, 72, it was a place to go hide. I don't know how many, if any, National Guard units were called to active air. National Guard units were called to active duty and sent to Vietnam. I'm guessing none. But it was known. Hell, I was alive in that era. I remember what happened. And my friends who weren't married or weren't drafted or didn't have children or who didn't go into the Peace Corps or flee to Canada headed for a reserve unit or National Guard, preferably National Guard. Bush, of course, has turned the National Guard into a frontline combat organization. But when he ducked into it, it was a place where you could hide and be safe and 30 years later claim you served your country. What a worm. What a worm this guy is. What a cowardly little worm. All right. Let's get some of this in. If you're on hold, stay with me. We're going to get to it. I swear to God, I want you to hear these... I want you to hear some of these comments, okay? Bush and Tim Russert, Meet the Press yesterday. On Bush's commission to look into pre-Iraqi war intelligence, Russert says, Prime Minister Blair has set up a similar commission in Great Britain. His is going to report back in July. Ours is not going to report back until March of 2005. 5 months after the presidential election, shouldn't the American people have the benefit of the commission's report before the election?
Well, the reason why we gave it time is because we didn't want it to be hurried. This was a strategic look, kind of a big picture look about the intelligence gathering capacities of the United States of America. And it's important that this investigation take its time. I don't look. We're in a political season. I fully understand people. He's trying to avoid responsibility. There's going to be ample time for the American people to assess whether or not I made a good calls.
A good calls? Well, yeah. You bet your ass. There's going to be time enough. So, Bush, the reason you give it time, this commission, is because you don't want it to be hurried. What about the 911 commission where 3,000 people were butchered on our soil? What about that commission? How's come you're, you've granted a little two-month extension? And all of you thugs, you criminals in your administration have refused to testify and help that commission reach some sort of conclusion? And this commission on intelligence, you have to be kidding me. With the people assigned to this commission that you have assigned to it, what's this guy, Silberman? The co-chair of this panel, Lawrence Silberman? A guy who traded with, oh my God, in 1980, Lawrence Silberman, who is now a federal appeals court judge, he was one that came up with the idea of appointing Ken Starr to go after Clinton. Anyway, Lawrence Silberman, in 1980, when he served as part of Ronald Reagan's senior campaign staff, he played a key role in setting up the contacts between the Reagan-Bush campaign and the government in Tehran in what became known as the October Surprise controversy. This is when this guy Silberman traded weapons with an enemy of the United States. And in return, turned around later on when the whole operation was run by Oliver North and used the money from trading those TOW missiles to slaughter people in Central America. And this murderous bastard, this Judge Silberman, who ought to be tried for what? Murder? I don't know. For something. And he's the co-chair of this commission? Oh, please. Oh, for Christ's sake. Why don't these people just stop with the games and give the American public clearly and finally, once and for all, the middle finger and just say, look, American public, go screw yourself, okay? We're sick of the games. This has become the fascist United States. I'm in charge. I'll do what I damn well please. I'll do what I damn well please, which is essentially what he said to Tim Russert. We didn't want it to be hurried. Still on the newly formed commission, Russert asks, will you testify, Mr. Bush, before the commission?
This commission? You know, I don't testify. I mean, I'd be glad to visit with them. I'd be glad to share with them knowledge.
I'll bring them some cookies.
I'd be glad to make recommendations if they ask for some. I'm interested in getting, I'm interested in making sure the intelligence gathering works well.
No, you're not. No, you're not. What you're interested in is making sure that the American people do not understand how corrupt and filthy you are, and everybody in your administration. You're going to visit with the commission? Oh, well, that'll be nice. On the 911 commission, Russert wants to know, Mr. President, there is another commission right now looking into September 11th. Will you testify before that commission? We know what his answer will be, but does his rationale here make any sense to you?
We have given extraordinary cooperation with Chairman Keene and Hamilton. As you know, we made an agreement on what's called presidential daily briefs, so they can see the information the CIA provided me. That is unique, by the way, to have provided what's called the PDB, because
presidential daily brief.
Right, and see the danger of allowing for information that I get briefed on out in the public arena is that it could mean that the product that I receive or future presidents receive is somewhat guarded for fear of it being revealed.
What? Oh, my God. Another question on the faulty pre-war intelligence. Russert says, the night you took the country to war, March 17th, you said this. Intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. Well, Mr. Bush, that apparently is not the case. How do you respond to critics who say that you brought the nation to war under false pretenses?
First of all, I expected to find the weapons. Sitting behind this desk, making a very difficult decision of war and peace, and I based my decision on the best intelligence possible, intelligence that had been gathered over the years, intelligence that not only our analysts thought was valid, but analysts from other countries thought was valid. And I made a decision based upon that intelligence in the context of the war against terror. In other words, we were attacked, and therefore every threat had to be reanalyzed.
We were not attacked by Iraq, you moron. We were attacked by your friends, the Saudis, and your other friends, the Bin Laden family. That's who we were attacked by. And when you say you expected to find the weapons, I expect every time I see a huge pile of horse manure to find a pony in it somewhere. But it doesn't work out that way, you jackass. What do you mean you expected to find the weapons? That's not why we go to war, Mr. Bush. That's not why 530 Americans should be dead and 10,000 Iraqis, Mr. Bush. Because you expected, and as far as the Your statement that intelligence that not only our analysts, thought was valid, but analysts from other countries thought were valid. Who? Are you talking about Tony Blair's clutch of whores? Who are you talking about, Bush? The French said it didn't exist. The Germans said it didn't exist. The Russians said they didn't exist. The Israelis, now it turns out, told you it didn't exist. Who does that leave, George? Huh? The Chinese said it didn't exist. The Japanese said, leave us out of it. Everybody said it didn't exist. The UN said it didn't exist. This intelligence that allegedly said all these weapons existed in Iraq. You liar. You're a liar. Tim Russert won't call you a liar. I'll call you a liar. You're a liar. God. Continue to answer Russert's questions about pre-war intelligence and his credibility here. I guess Karl Rove's words of the day instruction to W as you listen. Try to guess what Karl Rove's words of the day instruction to W were as you listen to this simpleton's answers.
But David Kaye did report to the American people that Saddam had the capacity to make weapons. Saddam Hussein was dangerous with weapons. Saddam Hussein was dangerous with the ability to make weapons. He was a dangerous man in the dangerous part of the world.
See Georgie lie. See Georgie lie and smile. Georgie can smile and lie at the same time. Good Georgie, have another pretzel. Dangerous weapons. Weapons dangerous. Saddam Hussein had the capacity to make weapons? For Christ's sake, I have the capacity to make weapons. Are you going to send 160,000 soldiers into my neighborhood? The capacity to make weapons? Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. I thought there were thousands of tons and pounds and what was it Bush said at his State of the Union address? 30,000 warheads, 500 tons of chemical weapons, 25,000 liters of anthrax, 38,000 liters of botulism toxin, 1 million pounds of sarin, mustard, and VX nerve gas, and tons of yellow cake uranium. That's what you said during your State of the Union address, the one before this one, you lying bastard, and now you're saying what? That Saddam Hussein had the capacity to make weapons? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And as far as I know, nobody filed articles of impeachment today. Saddam Hussein had the capacity to make weapons. Who does that exclude? On this planet? Is there any sovereign nation on the planet that does not have the capacity to make dangerous weapons? Man. Russert says, Mr. President, Director of the CIA said that his briefings had qualifiers and caveats, but when you spoke to the country, you said there is no doubt. When Cheney spoke to the country, he said, there is no doubt. When Powell spoke, no doubt. Rumsfeld, no doubt. We know where the weapons are. You said, Mr. Bush, quote, the Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency, close quote. You also said, quote, Saddam Hussein is a threat that we must deal with as quickly as possible, close quote. You gave the clear sense that this was an immediate threat that must be dealt with.
I think, if I might, remind you that in my language, I call it a grave and gathering threat. But I don't want to get in the word contest, but what I do want to share with you my sentiment at the time. There was no doubt in my mind that Saddam Hussein was a danger to America.
In what way?
No doubt. Well, because he had the capacity to have a weapon, make a weapon. We thought he had weapons. The international community thought he had weapons. But he had the capacity to make a weapon.
When in doubt, if you're George Bush, fall back and repeat things over and over and over again and make yourself sound like a bigger half-wit.
Oh, I can tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before. And then I'd sit.
You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
All full of stuff and my heart all full of pain.
I would dance and be merry. Life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
About five before the hour. If you're on hold, stay with us. I'll get your calls right after we do these sound bites. Still on Saddam's weapons yesterday during the discussion between media whore number one Tim Russert, who made an effort and too stupid to be president, George W. Bush. Tim Russert asked the following. There's a sense in the country that the intelligence that was given was ambiguous and that you took it and molded it and shaped it, your opponents have said, hyped it, and rushed to war.
Well, Tim, I and my team took the intelligence that was available to us. And we analyzed it.
You spun
it. And it clearly said Saddam Hussein was a threat to America.
You're a liar.
Now, again, I know I'm getting repetitive, but I'm just trying to make sure you understand the context in which I was making decisions. He had used weapons. He had manufactured weapons.
So does Canada. So does of Iceland. Germany. So was it worth all the dead Americans and dead Iraqis? Russert says the primary rationale for the war had been to disarm Saddam. Paul Wolfowitz said that you had settled on weapons of mass destruction, as an issue we could agree on. But there were three issues. One was the weapons of mass destruction, the second is the support of terrorism, and third is Saddam's criminal treatment of the Iraqi people. Wolfowitz said, the third one by itself is a reason to help Iraqis, but it's not a reason to put America's kids' lives at risk, certainly not on the scale we did. End quote. Now, looking back, Mr. President, in your mind, is it worth the loss of 530 American lives and 3,000 injuries and wounding simply to remove Saddam Hussein, even though there were no weapons of mass destruction?
Every life is precious. Every person that is willing to sacrifice for this country deserves our praise. And yes. Let me finish.
Please.
It's essential that I explain this properly to the parents of those who've lost their lives.
Go see them.
Saddam Hussein was dangerous. And I'm not going to leave him in power and trust a madman. He's a dangerous man. He had the ability to make weapons, the very minimum.
On the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2004.
We'll be back in a minute. Sorry for that. We'll come right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. In what may be the first subpoena of its kind in decades, a federal judge has ordered a university to turn over records about a gathering of anti-war activists. In addition to the subpoena of Drake University, subpoenas were served this past week on four of the activists who attended a November 15th forum at the school, ordering them to appear before a grand jury Tuesday. In addition to records about who attended the forum, the subpoena orders the university to divulge all records relating to the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, a New York-based legal activist organization that has sponsored the forum. An American Airlines pilot asked Christians on his flight to identify themselves and suggested the non-Christians discuss the faith with them, the airline said. The case was handed over to the airline's personnel department for an investigation, spokesman Tim Wagner said Sunday. It falls along the lines of a personal level of sharing that may not be appropriate for one of our employees to do while on the job, he said earlier. America's Flight 34 was headed from Los Angeles to New York's John F. Kennedy Airport on Friday when the pilot asked Christians on board to raise their hands, Wagner said. George W. Bush denied he marched America into war under false pretenses and said the U.S.-led invasion was necessary because Saddam Hussein could have developed a nuclear weapon. I expected to find the weapons, Bush said in an Oval Office interview broadcast Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. He dismissed news reports that there is no evidence he reported for National Guard duty in Alabama during the summer and fall of 1972 during the Vietnam War. Investigators have concluded that the powder found in Frist's email was mostly paper dust with traces of ricin so minute they can't even be evaluated for particle size or purity. No envelope or note has been found, and no other piece of mail from the Senate has even a trace of ricin on it. Neither do any door sills, doorknobs, railings, or surfaces anywhere in the building, including air filters. Congress still finds it's worrisome to know that anyone is sending lethal substances through the U.S. mail and getting away with it. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Egyptian authorities have charged two men with endangering public health, saying they sold dog meat to the public in the days leading up to a Muslim feast. The official said a butcher and his friend from Cairo passed off slaughtered stray dogs as beef or lamb for roughly $1.85 per pound to make extra money to enable the butcher to get married. Many Muslims in Egypt celebrate the three-day feast Eid al-Adha, which began Sunday, by sacrificing a sheep or cow and donating some of the meat to the poor. Dog meat, however, is forbidden in Islam.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've ever seen a big washing machine go into its spin cycle, you have some idea of how fast the Bushites are spinning the truth as they try to launder their story on those missing weapons of mass destruction, which they insisted only a year ago that Saddam Hussein had and was prepared to fling at America. After months of scouring Iraq to find WMDs, Bush's own chief weapons hunter has resigned, declaring that he doesn't think they existed. So, spin, 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 the new line is that, well, okay, Saddam didn't actually have the weapons, but he was well on his way to making them. George himself, in his State of the Union dance, used this spin, referring to, quote, weapons of mass destruction-related program activities. Never has a president used so many hyphens in a single phrase. Dick Cheney even slouched out to insist that two flatbed trucks found in the desert were mobile biological weapons labs, giving, quote, conclusive proof that Saddam had an active WMD program. Alas, the chief weapons inspector shot that ludicrous idea down too, saying that those trucks were only making hydrogen for weather balloons. Then came spin mistress Condi Rice, Bush's top security advisor, asserting that because of Saddam's devilish secrecy, you're never going to be able to be positive about whether he had WMDs. But Condi, you, George, Cheney, Rummy, and all the rest told the world last year that you were absolutely positive. Next was Bush's PR flack, Scott McClellan, who went into reverse spin, claiming that Bush never said that Saddam posed an imminent threat, but only a growing one. Hogwash, Scott. George even warned us of mushroom clouds rising over our country. This is Jim Hightower saying, bizarrely, in his State of the Union speech, George W. even blurted out that no one can now doubt the word of America. Come on, George, we can't even figure out what your word is. Maybe all that spinning has made you dizzy.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return again to you.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere. You can hear my voice.
7:30 past the hour. Welcome back. It's just astonishing. We are talking about Tim Russert's interview with Too Stupid to Be President on Sunday. And to go from the 2003 State of the Union address where Bush said Iraq had stashes of weapons of mass destruction that included, and I'm quoting directly from the speech, 30,000 warheads, 500 tons of chemical weapons, 25,000 liters of anthrax, 38,000 liters of botulism toxin, 1 million pounds of sarin, mustard, and VX nerve gas, tons of yellow cake uranium. To go from that to the weasel words that this murderous thug used on Sunday with Tim Russert, that Saddam Hussein had the capacity to make weapons, the ability to make weapons. And for that reason, we have butchered, you and I, we elected the people who appointed the Supreme Court justices who selected this crumb bum who now sits in the White House. The American people elected the representatives who gave this scrum bum his resolution. And even though a million of us took to the streets to try to stop this, in a broader sense, we allowed it to happen. So, you know, I've said this before. Don't think that you and I'm talking about you and me, just the two of us. Don't think that you and I, like Lady Macbeth, are somehow going to get these damned blood spots off of us. We are not. We are complicit in this, truth seeker. This slaughter of 10,000 Iraqis, 530 Americans, God knows how many wounded. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I hate the burden. But whose back is it on? Don't dare say to me George Tenet or John Kerry or George W. Bush. We allowed this to happen. Because we allowed this utter and absolute abomination named George W. Bush to be in the White House, to take this country to war, to commit these murders. Sorry, we can't get away from it. We can't get away from it. We cannot. Now, what can we do about it? We can get this monster, this ignorant monster, out of office on November 2nd this year. That's about the best we can do at this point. Russert wants to know if it was worth all the dead Americans and Iraqis. We're going to play this for you again. Russert says, quote, the primary rationale for the war had been to disarm Saddam Hussein. Now looking back, Mr. Bush, in your mind, is it worth the loss of all these American lives, all these Iraqi lives, all these injuries? Has it been worth it, even though there were no weapons of mass destruction?
Every life is precious. Every person that is willing to sacrifice for this country deserves our praise. And yes.
Do you think?
Let me finish.
Please.
This is. It's essential that I explain this properly to the parents of those who've lost their lives. Saddam Hussein was dangerous, and I'm just not going to leave him in power and trust a madman. He's a dangerous man. He had the ability to make weapons, the very minimum.
Astonishing. Astonishing. For this crumb bum to say every person that is willing to sacrifice for this country deserves our praise, this guy who when it came his turn to sacrifice for his country, the little weasel bastard wouldn't even stay in the Texas Air National Guard. He got an 8-month early out so he could go to Yale or Harvard, so he says, but he never showed up there either. So his answer to Russert's question in one word, was it worth all the loss of these lives and the destruction and the wounding and the injuring and the people now, the 19-year-old Americans who will stumble through the rest of their lives on no legs or one arm or an eye shot out for this bastard's lies? Was it worth it? What does he say? Yes. This is horrible. This is horrible. This is just unbelievably horrible that the President of the United States of America can make that kind of a statement. Yes. He says it's essential to explain this properly to the parents of those who lost it. They didn't lose their lives, George. You had them killed. You had them murdered. And if it's essential that you explain this properly to the parents, well, I'll bet you the Department of Defense, George, can give you the names, addresses, and phone numbers of the survivors of these 530 Americans you had murdered. Why don't you call them up, George? You got nothing to do, huh? You don't do squat. Why don't you call them up? 10 a day? Hell, you have it done in 2 months. Saddam Hussein was dangerous, he says, and I'm not going to leave him in power. Who do you think you are?
I know who you think you are. You think you're Jesus Christ's appointee. It's not up to you who's going to stay in power on this planet and who isn't. But Saddam was a dangerous man. He had the ability to make weapons. The ability to make weapons, this useless thug says. Saddam had the ability to make weapons. So do you, George. Who's going to come and bomb your ass? Who's going to bomb this country? Who's going to remove you from power? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're the good guy. You're the Christer. You're the good guy. Saddam is the evil bastard that you and your family can't do business with anymore. Saddam was dangerous and had the ability to make weapons. So 530 Americans so far. How many more are going to die, George, huh? Before you are removed from office and the next president gets in there and gets our troops the hell out of there. How many more are going to die? Another 400? God. Oh, I know. The election is not about all this. All the pundits are telling us, no, the election's about the economy. Really? Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Last question on Iraq. Here you go. Russert says, in light of not finding the weapons of mass destruction, do you believe the war in Iraq is a war of choice or a war of necessity? Listen to this little rat.
I think it's that's an interesting question. Please elaborate on that a little bit. A war of choice or a war of necessity? I mean, it's a war of necessity. My judgment, we had no choice when we look at the intelligence I looked at that says the man was a threat. And you know, we'll find out about the weapons of mass destruction that we all thought were there. That's part of the Iraqi survey group and the group I put together to look at.
We already have found out, you numbskull. We already know. The world knows. The anti-war demonstrators and protesters knew a year ago. The UN weapons inspectors, like Hans Blix and Scott Ritter, knew 3 years ago. Everybody knew. Except, apparently, you and that clutch of neoconservative murderers that surround you. Phil in Painesville, Ohio, just has a very simple question regarding Bush and his being AWOL, his claim that he was in Texas Air National Guard, and nobody can verify it. Phil in Painesville, Ohio writes in, Mike, why is no serviceman come forth and tell us about training with George II? If I served with the man who became the President of the United States, I'd be telling the world. I'd be showing off photos. I'd be telling war stories. Didn't Bush have any friends during his service years? Well, Phil, you know the answer to that. That's the reason you phrased it the way you did. He wasn't there. The lion rat bastard wasn't there. He's a liar. You can't lie about oral sex if you're the president in this country, or you'll get your ass impeached. But you can lie about your military record. You can lie about weapons of mass destruction. You can lie to send 530, so far, Americans to their deaths. You can lie to the extent that 10, 15, 20,000 Iraqis are blown into a million pieces. You can lie to the extent, well, you can just go on and on and on. But God help you if you lie about oral sex with your girlfriend. For that, this country will impeach your ass. But lying about death and destruction? No problem. Now, about his military service, or lack thereof. We got a few sound bites for that, too. So I'm going to ask you to hang around. If you can't hang around, I understand. But we want to get these in. We want you to hear this, and I don't want to break the flow. I just want you to hear these, and then we'll take your phone calls. So I hope you stick around. Next here, sound clips about Bush's military record. This guy, I've never seen a liar like George Bush and his entire crew. And like we said months ago, they don't even bother to spin anymore. They don't even bother to hedge, color, change. They just stand there and lie.
Fool me once. Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
I can't say I sympathize with what your fate is going to be. Yes, for telling all those lies. No, nothing was delivered. Yes, and someone must explain.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. All right. Bush and Russert, Meet the Press, yesterday, on his so-called military service, Media whore number one, Tim Russert, says, Mr. President, this campaign is fully engaged. Oh, what's that, Tim, your qualifier? This campaign is fully engaged. The chairman of the DNC, Terry McAuliffe, said last week, quote, I look forward to that debate when John Kerry, a war hero of the chest full of medals, is standing next to George Bush, a man who was AWOL in the Alabama National Guard. He didn't show up when he should have showed up, end quote. Mr. President, how do you respond to that?
Political season's here.
Yeah.
I served the National Guard. I flew F-102 aircraft. I got an honorable discharge. I've heard this ever since I started running for office. I mean, I put in my time, proudly so.
You liar. You liar. Apparently not satisfied with that answer, media whore number one, Tim Russert, presses on. Mr. President, the Boston Globe, the Associated Press have gone through some of their records and said there's no evidence that you reported to duty in Alabama during the summer and fall of 1972.
Yeah, they're just wrong. There may be no evidence, but I did report. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been honorably discharged.
That's a lie.
In other words, you don't just, say I did something without there being verification. The military doesn't work that way. I got an honorable discharge, and I did show up in Alabama.
Wait a second. In other words, you don't just say I did something without there being verification. Isn't that how you got us in the war in Iraq? Didn't you say, well, there's this and that and this and that and this and that with no verification? And you sent 530 Americans to their deaths and thousands to injuries and 10, 15, 20,000 Iraqis to their deaths? What are you talking about? Without being verification. You're a liar, Bush. You're a filthy liar and you're a sneak and you're a killer. And as far as a discharge, honorable discharge is concerned, that means nothing. With your father being George Herbert Walker Bush, anybody can get an honorable discharge. That's right. Your contempt for the American people is so deep and so broad and so wide. And your core constituency is so ignorant. You can say something like that. And actually get away with it. Now, Tim moves on to the economy. He has a chart, and he shows it to the monkey, and he says, "Let me turn to the economy. The Bush-Cheney first 3 years, the unemployment rate has gone up 33%. There's been a loss of 2.2 million jobs. We've gone from a $281 billion surplus to a $521 billion deficit. The debt has gone from $5.7 trillion to $7 trillion, up 23%. Based on that record, Mr. President, why should the American people rehire you as CEO?
Sure. I have been the president during a time of tremendous stress on our economy and made the decisions necessary to lead that will enhance recovery. But what the people must understand is that instead of wondering what to do, I acted. And I acted by cutting the taxes on individuals and small businesses primarily.
That's a lie.
And that itself has led to this recovery.
What recovery?
So you show that the numbers, I'm not suggesting the chart only shows the bad numbers, but how about the fact that we're now increasing jobs?
A lie.
Or the fact that unemployment is now down to 5.6%.
Because another 4%, it should be around 9 or 10%, you liar. But because of the way the Labor Department, under that thug, Elaine Chao, reports the numbers, it doesn't reflect true numbers, George. The unemployment in this country is running maybe 10, 11%. You're a liar.
Yeah, a guy like me should be so lucky. Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A plan to restore wetlands around San Francisco Bay is called globally important. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. 90% of the marshes that once surrounded San Francisco Bay are gone, done in by diking and landfilling. Now a coalition of environmental groups, businesses, and government agencies is working on a plan to restore thousands of acres of these wetlands. John Hart is the author of a new book, San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary. Hart says many of the salt marshes can be restored.
Most of the lost marshland around the bay was not irrevocably destroyed. It was diked off and turned into rather low-value agricultural fields. But the land is still there, and it's still available for rewatering and rehabilitation. So a truly epical program to restore salt marshes is just getting started all around the bay. It's really something of planetary significance.
The National Audubon Society calls the restoration of San Francisco Bay as important as Everglades restoration. Hart says the bay provides vital habitat for waterfowl, salmon, and marine species.
This bay is a very important habitat for the western part of North America, so it's already on a fairly large scale in that sense. But what I'm really talking about is it's important as a pilot project for restoring thoroughly damaged systems. Even more than its intrinsic significance, it's the boldness and the reach of this restoration effort that is setting a model that goes very, very far.
San Francisco Bay restoration would cost billions of dollars, but proponents argue it's a project of global importance, and they hope to pull together state, federal, and private funds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot confront a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
Yeah, yeah, that's the most important lesson you learned in Vietnam, you little weasel liar. Still on the economy, Tim Russert, media whore number one. This is where I like this. George Bush calls Rush Limbaugh a liar. You have to listen quick. It's in the first part of his answer. Russert says, your base conservatives watch and listen to Rush Limbaugh, the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, and all of those are saying you are the biggest spender in American history.
Well, they're wrong.
Mr. President,
you look at the appropriations bills that were passed under my watch. In the last year of President Clinton, discretionary spending was up 15%, and ours have steadily declined. And the other thing that I think is important for people who watch the expenditures side of the equation is to understand we're at war, Tim. And anytime you commit your troops into harm's way, they must have the best equipment, the best training, and the best possible pay.
The best equipment, the best training, and the best possible pay? Okay. When's that going to happen? When's that going to happen? Huh? Come on. As far as the unemployment, the deficit, spending. Where is it? Well, when he said what the people must understand is instead of wondering what to do, I acted, and I acted by cutting the taxes on individuals and small businesses primarily, and that itself has led to this recovery. From the Progress Report, David Shirota, Christy Harvey, and Judd Legum, you can get this online if you want it. Here's the fact. That's the claim. Here's the fact. Bush tax cuts had little effect on small business owners. The Bush tax cuts, under the first tax cut, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities report, small business owners would be far more likely to receive no tax reduction whatsoever from the administration's tax package, because only 3.7% of small business owners are affected by the top tax rate cuts that were the bulk of the plan. Under the 2003 tax cut, the Urban Institute Brookings Tax Policy Center estimates that nearly 4 out of every 5 tax filers with small business income would receive less than the amount, while 52% of people with small business returns would get $500 or less. On the upcoming election, Tim Russert says you're trailing John Kerry in both USA Today and Newsweek polls by 7 and 5 points respectively. Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
If you did, what would you do?
Well, I don't plan on losing. I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. I want to lead this world toward more peace and freedom. I want to lead this great country to work with others to change the world in positive ways, particularly as we fight the war on terror. And we've got changing times here in America, too.
You sick, sick man. When I listened to that, I didn't watch it when the tape version on Sunday. I couldn't do it because I was afraid. I was afraid I would throw things. I really was afraid I would throw things. But when you listen to this stuff now, and I watched the tape of Russert's interview that Kathy made, and I realized that this guy really is. I don't know. He is so out of it. He is. It's beyond belief. I've never seen such an insecure, scared, spineless little man sitting there, trying to talk like an adult, trying to talk like somebody who has 30,000 nuclear weapons at his disposal, trying to be a tough guy. And there he sits, an abject, utter failure. Everything George Bush has ever touched, I can't say it, has turned to dirt. He's a liar. He's a bad manager. He's never had a success in his life. Every single thing he has done has gone belly up until somebody bailed him out. Either his father, or the Bin Laden family, or the Saudi royal family, or private investors. And to watch him sitting there with Tim Russert, as much of a chump as Tim Russert is, George Bush still looked like a little cornered rat. And Russert looked like the big fat guy standing there with a huge club ready to smack the rat. It was incredible to watch. The cowardice, the sneakiness in his eyes, the pasty, ex-druggy, dry drunk look on his face, the understanding that he didn't understand the questions, that he was hoping that the sound bites and the rehearsals that Karl Rove had driven into his head would somehow float to the surface after every one of Russert's questions, and he, Bush, would be able to come up with something that sounded like an answer. It was pathetic beyond belief. This is a president of the United States? This scared little kind of pasty-skinned, decrepit-looking man? That is the president of the United States? It was awful. It was so bad, even the right-wing neo-Nazis in this country, from Peggy Noonan to the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, were in agreement that George Bush looked like a freak. Well, his daddy's friends on the Supreme Court are not going to be able to save him. For the first time in a long, long time, I really do feel that George Bush is history. He's gone. He's out of here. Now, if he and his handlers feel that way, then look for the deaths of another 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 50,000 Americans on our soil, because these killers will stop at nothing. But George Bush is history. Fool me once. What did he say? Fool me once. You can't get fooled again. Whatever the hell he said. The important thing to the American public is to get rid of the Republicans who control the House and the Senate, too, because they are as corrupt and vile and filthy as Bush is. It's not just Bush that has to be removed from office November 2nd. It's also the Republicans in the House and the Senate. All right. 800-TALK-YES is a number. I appreciate everybody's patience here, but like I said, we wanted to get all the sound in, get it all played for you before we took your calls. Gayla is calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Gayla, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for holding on for the past hour and a half.
No problem. I'm really happy to get to talk to you. First of all, I just wanted to thank you and Kathy for producing such a great show and providing me with quite a refuge for the last few months since I discovered it.
Yeah, I hear that. It's a refuge for us, too, Gayla, trust me.
Well, I hope you all find a new home where I can...
Yeah, we will. We will. Okay. Keep going to my website periodically, and we will land someplace. I hope. You never know. Once the UAW folds this network, I don't know. I hope we land someplace. But
I think you will.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, I was just noticing today the cover of Time magazine. There's an article about Bush's credibility gap.
Uh-huh.
And also in that same issue, there's an article about Dick Cheney. Is he an asset or a liability?
Is he a what? Oh, asset.
Yeah.
Never mind.
And I hear you.
Yeah.
And also Bush's military record or lack thereof,
mm-hmm,
are also featured in this issue of Time. That in conjunction with Coldplay's Grammy acceptance speech last night, where they basically were their votes for Kerry. I was just wondering if you think there's a turn of the tide, so to speak.
I hope there is. I miss Coldplay. We missed the Grammys last night. We were out and about, but I think there is. I think the tide is starting to turn. Bush is turning out to be certainly not as not 1/1000th as brilliant as Richard Nixon, but maybe 10 times more devious and sneaky and murderous. Richard Nixon, regardless of what I or anybody thinks about him as the evil megalomaniac that he was a brilliant man. He just was, in his way. You could make the case that Hermann Göring was brilliant, that Mao Zedong was brilliant, that Stalin was brilliant. What Richard Nixon was. But I sense a Nixon moment here. I'm surprised that some of the senior members of the Republican Party haven't gone to Bush Of course, they can't get to him because of this cadre of neocons that surround him. But I'm surprised that some of the leading Republicans haven't gone to him and said something like, "Mr. President, the country's turning against you. You better dial it back just a bit." I agree with the spirit of your question. I think things are turning against him, even as ignorant, as willfully ignorant as the majority of the American public is. Even that willful ignorance is, I think, starting to give way to what this corrupt individual has done and continues to do to this country. And I think his lies are becoming more and more transparent. So, yeah.
And don't you think also, aside from the willful ignorance, there's also a certain level of pride that's sort of taken over the American public?
I'm not sure I understand that, Gail.
Well, the people who voted him in, I wonder if, you know, they're reluctant to say, oh, yeah, we were wrong and
The people who voted for him,
yeah.
I think a percentage, a very small percentage of those people are willing to say, yeah, we made a mistake. I think so-called mainstream Republicans who, for some reason, voted for this jackass 3.5 years ago, maybe they are coming out of the ether. One thing we have to keep in mind is that he did not win the election.
Right.
You know, 500,000 more Americans voted for Al Gore. Now, I understand all the nonsense about the Electoral College and yada, 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 and what the Florida legislature was planning to do and what the Supreme Court of the United States ultimately did. But the bottom line is we didn't vote this criminal in.
Although, like you say, why was it only by 500,000 votes?
Right,
you
know? Right. I have made that point. So I do think people are starting to come out of the ether, and maybe some people are starting to realize that any legitimate pride in America, not because we can go kill people, not because we can bomb and blow up cities, but because of who we try to be historically, you know, an example of democracy and freedom. If we have any pride in that left whatsoever, then this group has got to go, because they're destroying it. They're making a mockery of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Gayla, thanks.
I'll be keeping my fingers crossed for that, too.
Well, thank you. Thanks for checking in. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and maybe we'll hear from you in the 14 programs we have left.
I hope so, too.
Thanks, Gayla.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care. From Tampa, Florida, Lowell is calling. Hey, Lowell, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. This is I'm also a first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I just discovered your program last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. But you know, I have to agree with you on basically everything. It's just amazing. It's, I did watch a friend of mine taped Meet the Press yesterday, and I watched it.
Wasn't it incredible?
Jesus Christ. I mean, I couldn't believe that. It's,
yeah.
It was like watching a bad episode of Dallas Meets the Yeoman.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you got J.R. Ewing, or I should say J.R. Bush in the White House, and brother Bobby and his evil minion Catherine Harris purging thousands of votes just to get bro elected. And I mean, if that was bad enough, as far as the Iraqi thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that there's still some people actually supporting this. Even when Bush's lies was falling all around his face, someone I work with says, the Iraqi people are free. That was never the point, for Christ's sake.
And, of course, they're not free. They're as far from free as north is from south. God help them if they protest against the Iraqi ruling council that we put together. God help them if they protest against the occupation forces. They will go to jail or they'll be shot dead in the street.
I mean, it's like Iraqi co-sponsored by Halliburton.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Basically, something to give Bush's constituents a little extra cash to pull around or whatever, at the expense of the Iraqi people, and also it's also a revenge thing. I mean, remember 11 years ago, someone Hussein was supposedly responsible for trying to assassinate Daddy Bush.
Which to me it was just hog snot. You know, I mean, what a lie! What a cheesy attempt! And of course, as a result of that, that's when Clinton lobbed God knows how many missiles into Iraq as a response to this intel that said when Pappy Bush was over in Kuwait cutting more blood for oil deals that somebody was going to try to assassinate him. You know, these people are. I don't know. They're just vile.
It's just amazing what lengths that they'll go to achieve whatever sick agenda they have.
That's
and,
true.
It's not in the interest of the American people because, I mean, if I believe for one moment that Hussein was an immediate threat to the U.S., which is in his case,
mm-hmm.
like an ant threatening God or whatever.
Right.
I would have supported that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
What have you,
to that, it was all a lie. Lowell, we got a boogie. I hope you call again before we're off the air, pal.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for checking in. You have a nice evening.
He's a damn shame.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio, to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise 2-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. planet. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio 2-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderstimate. It's Mike Molloy. He's commonsensical.
Five before the hour, Diane in Riverside sent this in to me. A couple of questions that she would have liked to have asked Bush. Mr. Resident, there are numbers of young men and women coming home on leave who are refusing to show back up at their post to be sent back to Iraq. It is said that many of them wish to leave service for a time to go work on Senator Kerry's presidential campaign. Since you left early to work on a campaign at a time of war, and these young men and women have already served more combat time than you did, do you agree that they should be allowed to do that and to get an honorable discharge, say, 8 months from now? Good one, Diane. And a follow-up from Diane. You say, Mr. Resident, that you flew jet aircraft while you were in the reserves. You also said that you enjoyed it, that you were enjoying learning to pilot planes that were due to be cut at a time that your fellow compatriots were being injured and killed in a war. Did the return of any of your friends in body bags affect your pleasure at all, Mr. Bush? Good questions, Diane, but that's why you're not Tim Russert. That's why I'm not Tim Russert. That's why those of us with sensibility and sensitivity are not Tim Russert. And as our last caller, when he was referencing, ironically and wryly, the same way I do, about Iraq being free, when Bush says this, Iraq is occupied by a foreign power. Its officials, its leaders have been appointed by that foreign power. All of its citizens must carry ID cards that can be stopped at any point by anyone in a U.S. military uniform to produce that ID card. The citizens of Iraq have got to go through roadblocks and checkpoints just like the Palestinians do in the occupied territories. The free citizens of Iraq have to be in their homes by curfew time that's been set by the occupying power. Remember the pictures of the villages in Iraq ringed with razor barbed wire? The occupiers have imposed strict gun control laws. Trade with some countries is banned by the occupiers. And the occupiers have decreed that certain electoral outcomes won't be permitted. This is a free country? Oh, my God.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
if we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush denied he marched America into war under false pretenses and said the U.S.-led invasion was necessary because Saddam Hussein could have developed a nuclear weapon. I expected to find the weapons, Bush said in an Oval Office interview broadcast Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. He dismissed news reports that there is no evidence he reported for National Guard duty in Alabama during the summer and fall of 1972 during the Vietnam War. In what may be the first subpoena of its kind in decades, a federal judge has ordered a university to turn over records about a gathering of anti-war activists. In addition to the subpoena of Drake University, subpoenas were served this past week on four of the activists who attended a November 15th forum at the school, ordering them to appear before a grand jury Tuesday. In addition to records about who attended the forum, the subpoena orders the university to divulge all records relating to the local chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, a New York-based legal activist organization that has sponsored the forum. Investigators have concluded that the powder found in Frist's email was mostly paper dust with traces of ricin so minute they can't even be evaluated for particle size or purity. No envelope or note has been found, and no other piece of mail from the Senate has even a trace of ricin on it. Neither do any door sills, doorknobs, railings, or surfaces anywhere in the building, including air filters. Congress still finds it's worrisome to know that anyone is sending lethal substances through the U.S. mail and getting away with it. An American Airlines pilot asked Christians on his flight to identify themselves and suggested the non-Christians discuss the faith with them, the airline said. The case was handed over to the airline's personnel department for an investigation, spokesman Tim Wagner said Sunday. It falls along the lines of a personal level of sharing that may not be appropriate for one of our employees to do while on the job, he said earlier. America's Flight 34 was headed from Los Angeles to New York's John F. Kennedy Airport on Friday when the pilot asked Christians on board to raise their hands, Wagner said.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
The head football coach at the University of Colorado has told a former colleague it would be harder to recruit star athletes if the school did not show them a good time and take them to sex parties. If recruits aren't being shown these types of activities, it would be a recruiting disadvantage, said a former associate athletic director who quoted head coach Gary Barnett as having told him. Depositions were taken as part of a lawsuit filed by three women who claimed they were raped at or after a December 2001 off-campus recruiting party attended by high school recruits. Last week, Governor Bill Owens told the university to investigate or he would launch a separate probe. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you. But as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you've ever seen a big washing machine go into its spin cycle, you have some idea of how fast the Bushites are spinning the truth as they try to launder their story on those missing weapons of mass destruction, which they insisted only a year ago that Saddam Hussein had and was prepared to fling at America. After months of scouring Iraq to find WMDs, Bush's own chief weapons hunter has resigned, declaring that he doesn't think they existed. So, spin, spin, spin. The new line is that, well, okay, Saddam didn't actually have the weapons, but he was well on his way to making them. George himself, in his State of the Union dance, used this spin, referring to, quote, weapons of mass destruction-related program activities. Never has a president used so many hyphens in a single phrase. Dick Cheney even slouched out to insist that two flatbed trucks found in the desert were mobile biological weapons labs, giving, quote, conclusive proof that Saddam had an active WMD program. Alas, the chief weapons inspector shot that ludicrous idea down, too, saying that those trucks were only making hydrogen for weather balloons. Then came spin mistress Condi Rice, Bush's top security advisor, asserting that because of Saddam's devilish secrecy, you're never going to be able to be positive about whether he had WMDs. But Condi, you, George, Cheney, Rummy, and all the rest told the world last year that you were absolutely positive. Next was Bush's PR flack, Scott McClellan, who went into reverse spin, claiming that Bush never said that Saddam posed an imminent threat, but only a growing one. Hogwash, Scott. George even warned us of mushroom clouds rising over our country. This is Jim Hightower saying, bizarrely, in his State of the Union speech, George W. even blurted out that no one can now doubt the word of America. Come on, George, we can't even figure out what your word is. Maybe all that spinning has made you dizzy.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. Before we go back to your phone calls, Irene just sent this to me, and I think I need to just share this with you very quickly. This is from Chicago Business Daily. A judge in the Midwest has denied John Ashcroft's demand for patient medical records. Now, let me see. This is the kind of stuff that floats beneath the radar. Listen to this: a move by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft to subpoena the medical records of 40 patients who received so-called partial birth abortions at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago was halted, at least temporarily, when a Chicago federal judge quashed the information request. The ruling is a first in a series of subpoenas by the U.S. Justice Department seeking the medical records of patients from seven physicians and at least five hospitals. Besides Northwestern, Ashcroft is seeking patient records from University of Michigan hospitals and health centers in Ann Arbor, Hahnemann University Hospital in Philadelphia, Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York, and a New York Presbyterian Hospital, both of which are part of the New York Presbyterian healthcare system, and an unidentified San Francisco area hospital. In a 16-page decision, U.S. Chief District Judge Charles Koukouras denied the government's request to obtain patient medical records from Northwestern, citing the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996 and Illinois Medical Privacy Law. Northwestern received the subpoena in December, a month after obstetrician gynecologist Cassing Hammond, a member of Northwestern's staff and medical school faculty, was served with subpoenas seeking his patient records. Dr. Hammond is one of seven doctors and three groups who have challenged the constitutionality of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003. The ACLU is representing the National Abortion Federation. Blah, 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 blah. Dr. Hammond refused comment last week. His case is pending. The article goes on here. But you can see what's going on. These physicians challenged the legality of this act. Seven doctors in three groups. So Ashcroft, this little Nazi bastard, oil-drenched, another one of these right-wing religious evangelical Christian madmen, starts demanding the records of his patients, for Christ's sake. His patients. When's this going to stop? Well, I'll tell you when it's going to stop, truth seeker. It's not going to, unless George Bush and his collection of Nazis are turned out of office on November 2nd. We got to do this, or we've lost the country. You know that, and I know that. We've got to do this. I don't know how we're going to get control of the U.S. House and Senate, but that has got to come also. But at least, the moron has got to be removed, and his cabinet. That's easy enough to do. As far as the House and Senate is concerned, that's going to take more effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take an awful lot of organization. These filthy Republicans have shifted the congressional districts to the extent that almost guarantees them control of the House for the foreseeable future. Something has to happen there. But I'll tell you what, if we don't get rid of Bush on November 2nd, then say goodbye to everything that this country is supposed to represent. It's almost gone now. This filthy little bastard, this John Ashcroft, I cannot, it's just beyond belief to me. Because these physicians say, look, you can't do this with this act, and file a lawsuit to prove the unconstitutionality or whatever it is they're trying to prove. These are doctors. For God's sake, what happened to the idea of doctor-patient confidentiality? And to these right-wing Christian freaks, there's no confidentiality. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The application of medicine, it better be absolutely, strictly within the confines of fundamentalist Christianity, or it ain't going to be practiced. That's their attitude. That's Ashcroft's attitude. Oh, man. Deep breath, Mike. Let it out. Smile. Put on a happy face. Okay. Thanks, Irene. I think it was Irene that sent it to me. Okay. I just didn't want that to get lost in the pile of articles here, that topics that we try to cover. All right, back to it. Steve is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. We miss you on the day here. I live out in the sticks, and your signal doesn't come out so good out here.
KTRCs? You can always pick us up on the Internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, at least for another 14 programs. But anyway, the real reason you called.
Oh, I was watching those two punks on Full News tonight.
Hannity and his puppet?
Yeah, the beady-eyed guys.
Yeah.
And, they just get me going. You know, just that softball thrower of Combs. Yeah. And then they got Hannity going tonight, and he's going after Kerry. about something he said 30 years ago while he was testifying before Congress after just getting out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you tried to get something that George Bush said 30 years ago, you'd have to go to Houston, Texas, and, you know, go to a bar and find out what he said 30 years ago. Well,
yeah.
Gary was testifying before Congress after having, you know, served his country.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, Hannity is such an arrogant little snot. He's another cowardly little punk. During Gulf War One, if he believes so much in the cause, Sean Hannity 10 years ago, 12 years ago, should have signed up. He should have gone over there. Got his second lieutenant status or whatever. He could have gone to OCS and got himself a junior officer's rank and gone over and killed some towel heads. You know, he could have blown some people to pieces. He could have dropped some napalm or something. But Sean Hannity, like every single Republican on the planet who is an office holder, is a coward.
Yeah, I've emailed him to that effect, and he's never replied.
No, don't hold your breath on that one, Stephen.
I wouldn't think so. But
right.
Another point I was going to make, you know, he always talks about, well, Democrats don't have any issues to run on. And it's like, well, you guys are going to try and run on gay marriage. You know, that's the
right.
Republican issue. They're going to try and shove down everybody's throat, whether we want it or not.
Right.
But, you know, another thing I was going to bring up, because I haven't called you in a while, but have you noticed every time something really bad happens in America,
mm-hmm.
A Bush current or former business partner is involved with it?
Sure.
Whether it's people flying planes into our buildings or a blackout in the Northwest.
Or bank failures.
Or the bank failures,
yeah.
or Enron.
Oil shortages.
Yeah. A Bush business partner behind this.
Yeah, that's why I refer to it with no irony at all, the Bush crime family. These people are thugs on a scale unprecedented in the history of this country. They make Al Capone look like a pickpocket.
Yep. But, I'm going to miss your show. Hope you can find some...
Yeah, we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. It may take a while. I don't know how long we're going to be off the air, but we've got 14 shows left after tonight. If we stay with this network that long, I don't know how long this network's going to be around. We've been told February 27th.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? So that's if that holds, then we have 14 more shows to do. And then it's history. But we'll wind up someplace, I hope. Just go to MikeBeloy.com after we're off the air, Steve, and when we get information, we'll pass it on.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you, sir. Thanks for checking in.
Maybe I'll give you a call within the next 2 weeks or so.
All right. I hope so.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Steve. David is calling from Seattle. David, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hello.
And thanks for holding on for so long.
Yes. Before I found out about your program, I had all this, everything you are saying was already going through my head. I don't know if I was picking you up the radio on my head or... But I'm so glad. I wanted to thank you just for being there because I'm not the only guy in the world thinking this.
No, you're not. And a lot of people felt the same way. The only difference between you and me or me and another listener to this program is I happen to have the microphone. But, the thoughts and the ideas and the realizations for some of us in this country, a huge group of us, millions of us, we're not stupid. We're not dumbasses. We can understand a lie. We can see the truth. We know when we're being conned. And we know when we have a chump in the White House. So, yeah.
Back before Bush was elected, I made a pariah of myself with all my friends and relatives by telling them that this guy is the worst possible example of American manhood to become a president. It's a terrible example for think of the children.
I know.
What does this say?
I know.
Work hard and you can be unemployed, or if you are born in the right position, then you don't have to really work very hard at all. You can be
right.
Governor, you can be president, and, you know, it doesn't matter what you destroy in the way. He's going to have a George Bush presidential library, and he'll be able to think about that instead of all those dead people.
Yeah, and I like what Ann Richards, a former governor of Texas, said about Pappy Bush years and years ago. She said Pappy Bush woke up on, or maybe she was talking about George Jr. I guess it was George Jr. She said he woke up on third base and thought he'd hit a triple. And Molly Ivins, it was either Ann Richards or Molly Ivins, said that George Bush was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys, they have
putting it nicely.
Yeah, they have no respect for hard work. They have no respect for the human race. They have no respect for the military. No respect for playing fair in the marketplace, in business or finance. These are thugs and criminals. They really, really are, David.
So I had a couple ideas I wanted to run by you real
quick. All right, go ahead.
The first is a church. We need a new church for hypocritical Christians.
Boy, that's...
These are people who believe in the Ten Commandments and the death penalty.
Yeah,
that would
have to be an awfully big church, pal, because there's a lot of them out there.
And then the other is that there's a new technology that they think they want to use when you go stand in line to get a ticket to get on an airplane.
Yeah.
And it looks at your face, and I don't know if it uses infrared or ultraviolet or a combination of things, but it's a lie detector, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that works, what we need to do is install that in our House of Congress. And so that when we have a State of the Union address, we know what the state of the speaker of the State of the Union is.
Wouldn't that be cool? Have little lights and buzzers going off all over the place. Hey, there's the music. David, thanks for checking in. I hope you're going to call back, pal.
All right. Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. I appreciate you checking in.
About my past, you know, I've sure seen better days. So I spent most of the 80s in a drunken jail. Oh, I'm George W. Don't you cry for me. Now I've made it to the White House. That's in Washington, D.C.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't. I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us and slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Pudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise. Zebra.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-four past the hour. Joe is calling from La Cienega, New Mexico. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Nice to talk to you.
Well, my pleasure, sir.
I just want to tell you, I'm going to miss your program in a you're going to be off in 14 days.
Well, 14 programs.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
You know, there should be a McDonald's sign that says 2.9 million people laid off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there sure should be.
Okay, hey, you and I are about the same age. Remember Frank Mankiewicz? He used to run the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I remember the name.
Yeah,
sure.
Just a hardcore guy.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's so surprising to me is that Terry McCullough is taking Frank's message, driving it home, that Bush has no military record.
What's about time? SmokingGun.com, way back when it was first put together 5 or 6 years ago, was talking about this before Bush was ever elected.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, why the Democrats didn't pick up on it, why Gore and Lieberman didn't pick up on it in the run-up to the theft of the election in 2000. So Terry McAuliffe, finally, when it's safe, when other people have forged and blasted a hole through this nonsense, finally Terry McAuliffe steps through like a hero? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know, and he's just one of these dot-com ripoff guys. But he picked up Frank Mankiewicz's message. Let's play hardball.
Well, I hope so. I don't know if McAuliffe or the Democratic Leadership Conference that owns the DNC, if they can afford to play hardball, because so many of them are compromised themselves. I just hope that some hardcore Democrats like Kucinich, like Dean, who is a non-corporate Democrat, I hope these guys will continue to kick up enough sand. Wesley Clark, who I know a lot of people are questioning, you know, where his loyalties really lie. But, you know, some of these people who are not captivated and enamored by the Democratic or by the corporate leadership. I'm sorry to say that John Kerry happens to be one who, what did I read the other day? Kerry has accepted more special interest money than any other member of the Senate. That's hardcore.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you know what? Let's give Governor Dean a lot of the credit, because he's given some spine to the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. I think Dean has given some spine. Kucinich has given some heart and soul. Maybe Wesley Clark will come in and arm the Democratic Party.
I don't know about Clark, though.
I don't either.
He's enigmatic. It's really hard to figure him out. And
well, like I said early on, you know, I'm going to back Kucinich as long as it's possible to back him. If that means up to the convention, then by God, that's what it'll be. Whoever the Democratic candidate is, though, I will support him.
Oh, me too. And this is obviously Kerry's going to get it, but I hope he will do. pardon the phrase, coalition forces. Grab all these great guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dane, Kucinich, leave out Lieberman. Thank you.
If Kerry is interested, if anybody in America in a position of power is interested in uniting the Democratic Party, then it will have to be exactly what you're talking about. If Kerry does get become the nominee, then he better scoop up Dean and Kucinich and Edwards and the rest of these people and put them in positions of influence and power. You're absolutely right.
But you know, keep up the faith, buddy.
I'll do it. Joe, this is your first time calling?
No, I've listened to you for years, and I just wanted you – the main reason I was calling you is for you to settle down, because you're going to have to go off your heart medication when Bush gets defeated.
But, no, it's blood pressure medicine.
No, whatever it is.
It's just blood pressure medicine.
Yeah, but,
and
no,
I only take 10 milligrams a day anyway.
Okay, but listen, the buzzers are circling.
I hear it. I can't wait until they land. Thanks, Joe.
Our number one whore.
Yeah.
Tim Russert,
yeah.
I thought nailed Bush yesterday.
He did a couple of times. I was surprised. He did.
Yeah.
But he was slow on the follow-up. Joe, thanks for checking in, buddy. I hope you call in again.
Take care of yourself.
All right, sir. You too.
Now don't sit at home saying, what could I do? Remember that unity starts with you. Democracy dead, only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on, oh, hold on,
hold on.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A plan to restore wetlands around San Francisco Bay is called globally important. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. 90% of the marshes that once surrounded San Francisco Bay are gone, done in by diking and landfilling. Now a coalition of environmental groups, businesses, and government agencies is working on a plan to restore thousands of acres of these wetlands. John Hart is the author of a new book, San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary. Hart says many of the salt marshes can be restored.
Most of the lost marshland around the bay was not irrevocably destroyed. It was diked off and turned into rather low-value agricultural fields, but the land is still there, and it's still available for rewatering and rehabilitation. So a truly epical program to restore salt marshes is just getting started all around the bay. It's really something of planetary significance.
The National Audubon Society calls the restoration of San Francisco Bay as important as Everglades restoration. Hart says the bay provides vital habitat for waterfowl, salmon, and marine species.
This bay is a very important habitat for the western part of North America, so it's already on a fairly large scale in that sense. But what I'm really talking about is it's important as a pilot project for restoring thoroughly damaged systems. Even more than its intrinsic significance, it's the boldness and the reach of this restoration effort that is setting a model that goes very, very far.
San Francisco Bay restoration would cost billions of dollars, but proponents argue it's a project of global importance, and they hope to pull together state, federal, and private funds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Excuse me. Back to your calls here in just a second. Again, the progress report of February the 8th, yesterday, regarding Bush on Meet the Press. They list 10 or 12 claims by this stupid moron and then the facts behind it. The Center for American Progress puts out the progress report, and the present CEO is John Podesta, who used to work for Bill Clinton. Podesta said the following: President Bush wouldn't have agreed to an hour-long network interview without a good reason, and today he had one. In the span of a week, he's faced the dual challenges of a loss of credibility on the war in Iraq and his management of the economy. His statement this morning, this is a couple of days ago, that he would cut the deficit in half is simply laughable. Analyses by independent organizations like Goldman Sachs, the Conquer Coalition, the Committee for Economic Development, and Decision Economics all project deficits of about $5 trillion over the next decade, even assuming a return to strong growth. The president's statement that there is good momentum on the job creation front is dishonest. While we are averaging 72,000 new private sector jobs created per month, at that pace it would take until May 2007 before this president would have created his first net job. President Bush is well on his way to having the worst job creation record since the Great Depression. His bragging today only served to reinforce his lack of credibility on managing the nation's economy. And what the president referred to as a word contest regarding the threat from Iraq is, in fact, his attempt to change the rationale for going to war and rewrite the history of what has occurred. His argument today that Iraq had the capacity to make weapons of mass destruction and pass them into the hands of shadowy terrorist networks is inconsistent with the intelligence provided to him. President Bush sought to restore his credibility today, Sunday, and he clearly failed to do so. Well, thank God. There is an organization now, the Center for American Progress, run by John Podesta, that will do what these filthy nests of liars, these right-wing think tanks, have been doing for the past 15 years. And that is, every time Bill Clinton came out with something good about the economy, these vermin in these right-wing so-called think tanks would try to tear it to pieces. Now we have something on the liberal side, on the Democratic side, if you will, that will point out the absolute and utter lies of this filthy Bush crime family. We need about 30 of these kinds of organizations that will immediately get the information out. Now, the problem here, of course, how many of you saw what I just read, the statement from John Podesta, in your local newspaper, or heard it on radio, or saw it on television? Yeah, that's right. Nobody. But at least it's getting out there. At least somehow it's getting out via the Internet. And screw mainstream media. That's not where progressives, Democrats, believers in this country, patriots get their information anymore, because we know how stacked it is against the truth. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Well, good evening, Michael.
Thanks for holding on for 2 hours.
To quote a 20-year Vulcan.
Vulcan?
Vulcan.
Yeah.
When faced with a total lack of logic, would say fascinating.
Fascinating, yeah.
A couple of things on the interview yesterday.
Okay.
When he was talking about there is going to be ample time for the American people to assess whether or not I made the right decision.
Yeah.
That sort of morphed into the American people have the right to know whether their president is a crook.
Yeah, really.
It has the same thing. And did you notice, I don't know if you have the stamina to go back and look at it again, but Russert didn't get very much face time on the interview. But a couple of times the camera did turn to him, and there was this absolute incredible disbelief when he was listening to Bush's answers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I looked at that and I said, son of a gun, he don't believe him either. And the other thing that I wanted to point out about his interview yesterday,
right,
when he got to the question about whether or not he would lose, listen carefully to how Bush's voice, tone of voice, dropped to a dead serious level and said, I'm not going to lose.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Yeah, that sounded like somebody said, I am going to cut you. I'm going to open up one of your veins.
It sounded more like a threat.
And watch you bleed to death. Yeah.
And I will bring another point back to your attention as far as his honorable discharge is concerned. Remember when, I don't know whether it was he was running for governor or whether he was, when he started to run for president, they changed his Texas driver's license.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His?
Because it purged all the, you know, it's recorded
right
somehow on a tape on the license and of how, what kind of driving record he had. So they issued him a new one.
In Texas, every single case ever brought against you from jaywalking to murder is part of your record on with Texas driver's licenses. And you're right. He got a new one. Then to cover his ass, Laura Bush got a new one. His wife did. A couple of his relatives got new ones, which expunged everything from the record. All of his arrests for drug abuse, for drunk driving, for a rape, everything that was there is now gone.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
A suggestion. Whoever sent you that email about the medical records,
mm-hmm,
she ought to send it to Howard Dean. He's a doctor. See what he thinks about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one last closing thought. Somebody said it today. I can't claim it as original, but Baghdad is Bush's blue dress.
Yeah, somebody sent me an email that had that quote in it, and I think we used it last week. That's very true. That's very true. Only, of course, nobody died over the blue dress.
Well, there's that. But, I mean, you know, it's an alliteration, and it'll stick in people's mind, and pointing out the fact that this guy lies every chance he gets.
About everything.
He doesn't know the truth if it came up and bit him on the nose.
Boy, is that the truth. Marge, thanks for checking in.
Live long and prosper.
You have a good night.
Take care.
All right, you too. Yeah, live long and prosper. All right, a couple of emails here very quickly from Greg. Mike, I heard on Randy Rhodes last week that John Kerry has accepted more lobbyist money than any other senator since 1985, but he doesn't accept political action committee money. So combining the two, he is 96th on the list of active senators. That's from Greg. Dennis emailed in, Mike, that piece about Kerry taking more PAC money than anyone else in Washington is not true. I do not recall where I read the rebuttal to that claim. Maybe Bushwatch or Buzzflash, but I did read it today or yesterday. Wish I could remember. Sorry. Blah, blah, blah. All right, Dennis. Barbara sent this in today. Rush Limbaugh said he's putting on his website a photo of Kerry with Jane Fonda at a Vietnam War protest. These neocons are so desperate, aren't they? Signed, Barbara. Yeah, really. Limbaugh. I want Limbaugh's ass to go to prison. That's all. You know, I'm totally against locking people up for drug abuse. But in Limbaugh's case, I would make an exception. Maybe somebody. I've heard both sides of this Kerry and PAC money and Kerry and lobbyists and so on and so forth, and I don't know. And I don't want to sit here and shoot off my mouth and get it all wrong. I'm just going to ask our vast, unpaid, volunteer research team out there to see what you all can find out. Is it true or isn't it? I've heard it reported that Kerry is the largest recipient of lobbyist money of anybody in the Senate. And does that make a difference? This year, it doesn't mean a damn thing to me. Like I said, if he gets a nomination, I'm going to vote for him. But I think it should make a difference in the nominating process. You know, when you compare that to Howard Dean or Dennis Kucinich or Wesley Clark or John Edwards, these are things I think we should know. Will that be the final arbiter as to whether or not I vote for him? No, it will not. But I'm not going to vote for him in the primary. When we have our primary here in Georgia, I'm voting for Dennis Kucinich, like I said I would. But if it turns out that Kerry is the nominee, you're damn right. I'll vote for him as many times as I can here in Georgia. If I can vote six times, I'll figure out a way to do it, vote for him, to try to offset the way the machines are going to be stacked against Democrats. Oh, my God. Joe's been holding on forever. Hey, Joe.
That's still me.
Yeah, your ear must be a little bit sweaty from holding the phone up to it. Welcome to the program, Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. What's up?
Yeah, I have been on a while.
I know you have. Two hours and 16 minutes, it says here.
Is Michael Jackson still black?
No, he hasn't been black for 20 years. Oh. What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, he's still white.
Oh, okay. You're still white, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm confused. George Bush Jr., I mean, of course it's about time these jackasses in the Democratic Party finally get out and call this guy, well, what he is, not literally a draft dodger, but, I mean, he was AWOL.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about time somebody called him on it. It's amazing to see these fascist Republicans get up on the TV and this is terrible, this is over the line to call call the president these
yeah.
names.
Well, what it's I don't
terrible.
Well, just like the person who emailed into me, maybe some of these folks coming back on furlough or timeout, whatever they call it these days, from Iraq, maybe they could get 8 months off and not have to go back to the combat zone the way Bush got 8 months off from the Texas Air National Guard. And maybe these the people could go work for a political candidate of their choice without being charged with desertion or being AWOL or violating their contract if they happen to be in the National Guard and are now serving as a frontline soldier in a war zone. That'd be interesting to see how the Bush bastard would react to that.
Well, let me tell you a little story about concerning military service of my own father during the Korean War. He was in for a 2-year term,
mm-hmm.
and they let him out. Well, one day, they let him out of the Marines 1 day earlier than a full 2 years, and the reason they did that. So they went ahead and officially put, you know, he was in the Marine Reserves after that.
Mm-hmm.
Any time after, like, the next 10 or 15 years, they could call him back for a military service anytime they wanted to. He possibly could have wound up fighting in the Vietnam War.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, you're not a big shot like the Bush crime family.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy used to be the congressman. Or something like that. Most normal people, that's the way they get treated by the military. That's why, you know, you tell anybody, they see these ridiculous commercials for the Marines or the Navy or these other military services. I mean, you know, if you got a damn bit of common sense yourself, you know, you tell that young person, you know, stay the hell away from the armed services. And, you know, especially true with this administration. But I'd say it all the time. I don't know how many times I've heard stories from friends of mine. You know, they didn't wind up getting killed or anything, but, you know, they promise you all sorts of things when you get in the military because they just want to get you in. Once they got you, they got you, and they'll promise anything to get you into the military.
Well, I think Wesley Clark and Bill Clinton and Cohen, Secretary of Defense during Clinton's second term, I think they proved something, that you can fight a major war and not have a single American soldier on the ground. And that was the war in Yugoslavia. So I don't understand why anybody would have any soldier, any frontline grunt would have to be in the military. Not anymore. It can be fought from 30,000 feet up in the air or from 100 miles off the coast of a country. And the only reason I think that a criminal enterprise like the Bush crime family wants to send people into a combat zone is so they can seize the property, so they can overthrow the government. I hate these pigs. I just hate them. And I agree with what you're saying, Joe. There's so much about the military now that is an absolute lie. I understand that the military has been misused in the past also, but I think it's being grossly misused now. Joe, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call. Where are we here? There we are. Andy is calling from also from Brookings, Oregon. I'll be damned. Two people from Brookings, Oregon. Hey, Andy. do you happen to know Joe?
No, I don't. And well, I kind of wish I did.
Well, how big is Brookings, for God's sake? It can't be that big, can it, or is it?
We have 3,000 people here.
And you don't know Joe.
We are a small little place and a lot of angry people.
Joe's the president of the Green Party in Brookings, Oregon, so there's a way you can track him down. How about that?
Well, I'm trying to give you a different perspective on let Bush win.
A second term?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I kind of feel let him take ownership of our status, of our nation. If we go ahead and depose him, then they're going to do the same thing that the Clintonites or whatever these horrible Republicans are doing to the Clintons. You know, everything is a Clinton problem.
I understand what you're saying, and if this were 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I might be able to go along with that. Let the Bush crime family take responsibility for the chaos they've caused. But it's not 20 years ago or 10 years ago. It's now, and the people who are right there perched to really seize power are fascists. And I don't want to see this country go completely fascist. If we don't get Bush out, it will go completely fascist. Hang on a second, Andy. I got to take a break here. We'll come back and finish up in just a minute.
I have said repeatedly, we are in a dangerous phase of this war. And as we learned, we lost life. But nevertheless, it is worth it, and it is necessary.
No one wins. It's a war of man.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi.
Steve, I'm Schroeder. Can I get
your boys anything? Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour, we're talking with Andy in Brookings, Oregon. I get your point, Andy. If these thugs were just incompetents, if they were just your typical Republicans, yeah, let them stew in their own juices. But the country is going to go down the pipes if George Bush has another term and his cabinet. I don't know what the chances are. The Democrats will get control of the House or the Senate for a long period of time because of the way the Republicans have stacked the deck now. But by getting rid of Bush, you get rid of Ashcroft. You get rid of Elaine Chao. You get rid of Ann Veneman. You get rid of Rumsfeld. You get rid of Cheney. You see what I'm saying?
Of course.
So, If he winds up serving another 4 years or getting another 4 years, however he gets it, I swear to God, and I don't mean to sound like I'm ready to cut and run, but I am going to have to consider, and so will my wife, the prospects of leaving this country, because I'm not going to raise another kid, and we have one on the way, under fascism. I'm not going to do it.
Well, I feel you're amped. what I want to say to you is we need a failure. And right now, the American people don't feel the failure. Right now, most Americans think things are good.
I don't think most Americans do. I really don't. You think so? You think most Americans think things are good?
Bush still has that 50, 45, 49. He's got that little cusp that mm-hmm. the rest of us don't feel.
Right.
And, you know, he's pretty tied up. When he gets down to 30, well, then we'll all be giddy that, oh, my God, he's not going to win it.
Well, don't forget, though, they're going to try to steal it. There's no question, just like they stole it last time. But we still have March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October to get through. With this war going on in the Middle East, there's going to be another, God forbid, but it's going to happen, another 200-300 Americans dead, if not more. The economy is going to go further into the toilet. More Americans are going to be out of work. I say just let things run their course. Make sure the Democrats nominate somebody strong who can throw this bastard out. And then come November 2nd, let's get rid of him.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. I just want to say that, I mean, my point was let Bush... kind of fail.
No, I know. I understand what you're saying. I understand. And it does make sense. Andy, we got a boogie. Thanks for chatting.
Thank you for your time.
First time calling, right?
You betcha, baby.
We'll try it again sometime, all right?
Good enough.
All right. Take care. Program tonight, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. And a partridge in a pear tree. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to